Dear God, I come as your servant to speak to your people on your behalf. I ask in the name of Jesus, dear God, a name you never resist. In his name, forgive me where I've offended you, Father. In his name, grant me the spirit of truth to guide me into truth, that I may guide your children into truth. I humble myself before you. I seek only your glory. Bless everyone under the sound of your manservant's voice. Protect us from harm and danger, dear God. And if there's anyone still on the way, bring him or her safely, Father. Reveal yourself through us, through the word. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to verse 8. Ephesians 2, reading verse 8. It's a well-known verse. You know it without looking. Do you have that? You know, this is an Adventist church, and you should find the books of the Bible very quickly. Well, somebody say amen. Who can recite the 66 books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in order? All right, in order, I'm looking for a young person. In order. You're youngish, yes, you're true. Young looking. Come. What's his name? Malachi? Oh, Malachi. An Old Testament prophet, come. Professor Malachi, come. Ah, we have a mic. Thank you, Pastor. Put some life in this microphone. It's alive. Malachi, stand up. Come with me, all right? How are you, Malachi? Hold this mic. How are you?
Good.
How old are you?
10.
Jesus was 10. He was a good boy. Are you a good boy? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, Malachi, I want you to recite the Bible books from Genesis to Revelation. Will you do that for us? Go right ahead.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah,
Esther,
Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, 1st and 2nd Timothy,
Galatians, 2nd Corinthians,
1st Corinthians,
2nd
Corinthians,
Galatians,
Galatians, and Ephesians, 1st
Philippians,
Philippians and Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Simeon, Hebrews, and the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and Revelation.
Amen. Thank you, Malachi. Shake my hand. God bless you, Malachi. God bless you. Good prophet name. Okay. And for those of you who raised your hand saying you could do it, thank you. God bless you. And as a Christian, your tool is the Bible. You must know how to handle your tool. Ephesians 2, reading verse 8, reading from the King James Version. If you have that version, read the verse with me. What does the Bible say? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, greeting, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now let's read verse 8 microscopically. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Two things are mentioned, grace and faith. Follow me closely. Listen to the words of the Bible. For by grace are ye saved. According to that verse, what saves us? Grace. Through? So we saved by grace and faith. Right or wrong? Wrong. Grace does not save you. Even though the verse appears to say that. There are occasions when Jesus healed the sick and said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Listen carefully to my words. Faith does not save you. Faith is what allows you to lay hold on Jesus Christ, that he might save you. If faith saves a man or a woman, there is no need for Calvary. Listen to me again. I thank God for grace. I thank God for faith. I thank him for faith, hope, and charity. But salvation is effected only by Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Without Christ, no one can be saved. Many people put their faith in faith. I have great faith, so I ought to go to heaven. No, your faith must be in Christ. Our subject for today, behold the man. What did I say? Let's go to Isaiah 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Behold the man. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? King James Version members, read with me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Finish the verse. For I am God and there is none else. Stop. Let's read that verse again. This time we'll read it how? Microscopically. What does that mean? Break it down. Something else. What does it mean when I say read microscopically? Pick it apart. Look at the little pieces of meaning that you missed from a hasty reading. Listen again. Look unto me. Who's speaking? Be more specific. Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't called Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But I want you to know, the man who died on Calvary's cross is the same man talked about in the Old Testament. It was he that appeared to Abraham. It was he that sent bread from heaven. It was he that sent the plagues on the Egyptians. It was he that parted the Red Sea. It was he that was the rock that provided water in the wilderness. It was he that represented a cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The God of the Old Testament is Jesus. The God of the Bible is Jesus. Now, he says, look unto me. Look at Jesus. There is a principle, by beholding, we become changed. It makes no difference what you behold. If a child grows up in a home where there's spousal abuse, there's a very great likelihood that child will either be involved in childhood spousal abuse by committing it or by suffering it. By beholding, we become changed. What's our subject? Behold the man. Jesus says, look unto me and be saved. Someone who takes an honest look at Jesus. What kind of look? Not just a look in order to fulfill the requirements for a master's degree in New Testament theology. I'm not referring to a look that results in an exam. I mean a look with the heart. Look unto me, says Christ. And if you do, you will be saved. All the ends of the earth. Who occupy the ends of the earth? The Buddhists? Yes or no? The Muslims? Yes or no? The Christians? Yes or no? The atheists? Yes or no? Jesus says it matters not who you are, it matters at whom you look. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God. Finish the verse. And there is none else. In other words, only God can save you. I am God. There is none else. Stay in Isaiah 45 as we continue. Behold the man. Look at verse 18. King James Version people, Read with me. Now, when I say King James Version people, the rest of you, don't be upset. I can't have different versions reading at the same time. It will sound like the Tower of Babel. Are you with me? So that's why I say, read what I have. Okay. Verse 18, Isaiah 45, our subject, behold a man. What does 18 say? Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am, and there is none else. Now, in verse 22, I am the Lord, there is none else. Because he alone can, in verse 22, he alone can save. In verse 18, he alone can create. Ah, God bless you, whoever said it. Meaning, the one who saves is also the one who created. What's our subject? The Savior is the Creator. Which means that when Jesus tries to save you, he is trying to save what is his. You said amen because you're courteous. I want to say amen because you understand. Christ cannot save what's not his by creation. A sinner does not belong to Satan by creation. Everyone belongs to Christ by creation. Listen to the Bible. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The foundation of ownership is creation. That's why you and I really own nothing but our sins. Let me say it again. The true foundation of ownership is creation. And so the Bible says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There's none else that can create. In verse 22, there's none else that can save. Let's go to chapter 46. Our subject, behold the man. It's 7:15. You'll be out before 8. Please don't worry. 46, verse 9 and verse 10. Read with me. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and... I am God and there is. Now read 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Now, it's Jesus, that God. He says there's none like me in that verse. Why? Listen again to verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Why is he saying there's none like me? Because no one else can declare the end from the beginning. Now put three things together. Isaiah 45 verse 22, there's none like me because no one else can save. Isaiah 45 18, there's none like me because no one else can create. Isaiah 46 9 and 10, there's none like me because no one else can declare the end from the beginning. Behold the man, Jesus. Is the one who said, let there be light. Thank you for Jesus' sake. What did I just say? Jesus is the one who said, let there be light. Jesus is the one who formed Adam from the dust. Jesus is the one who put Adam to sleep, removed a rib, and formed Eve. Jesus is the one who said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Which means the first commandment issued on the earth was issued by Jesus. And the Lord God commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. The first command issued on the earth was issued by Jesus Christ. The first warning of punishment was issued by Jesus Christ. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we have blessing for obedience. We have punishment for disobedience issued by Jesus Christ. Now listen to the same man who spoke to Adam as he speaks to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's the blessing, should not perish, that's the curse, but have everlasting life. Same person. Behold the man. Let's go to John 14. As we take a close look at Jesus, and there's a point I want to drive home to you tonight. And if you're praying for me, I'm sure I'll succeed by God's grace. John 14, we read verse 6. You have John. By the end of the week, you should find the passages in 5 seconds. Read with me. Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You read that very well. Let's read it microscopically. Read it now. Jesus saith unto him, stop. I am the way. He did not say, I have the way. Listen very carefully. If you think you'll sleep, stand up and listen to the sermon standing. I am the way. What else did he say? I am the truth. What else did he say? I am the life. Then eternal life is not so much something Christ gives you. Eternal life is Christ himself. Is that man who's also God. This is how I usually demonstrate it. People go to Christ. Their Father or their Savior may have eternal life. And they imagine Jesus gives it to them and they say, thank you. And then they walk away. No. To have eternal life, finish my thought, you have to have Jesus. You have to have Jesus, for he is that life. What did he say to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus himself is life. Not faith. No, I'm not knocking faith. I'm just elevating Jesus. If you have to be proud of Jesus. Not faith. Let him that glorieth, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Which means the greatest possession you and I can have is a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who is this man? But by the standards of the world, that's not the greatest possession. The greatest possession may be a house, a car, a wife, a husband, a degree, a promotion, stocks and bonds, 401k and 401f and G and L. But from the Bible's perspective, the greatest possession is a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he desires for us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now the same Jesus, in praying to his Father, he said, sanctify them how? Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word is truth. But in Revelation 19:13, when Christ is seen coming down with the armies of heaven to destroy his enemies, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. And so when Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, sanctification is impossible outside of Jesus Christ. You say, but it's through the Word. Desire of Ages, page 677, paragraph 1. Ellen White writes, it is through the word that Christ abides in his followers. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So to be saved, you must have me. The church saves no one. Let me add to that quickly before you say, oh good, I can leave the church. Mm-mm. God has a church, and it requires you, if you love him, to be a part of that church. Because the church is his body on earth. But the actual act of salvation is done by God, by Christ. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Why would Jesus say, when he had by himself purged our sins? Listen to the words he called out on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did the Father temporarily forsake Jesus Christ? Yes. Couldn't look at all that sin. So he was on the cross, the Father turned his back. Mark 14, verse 50, they all forsook him and fled. Did the disciples run and leave Jesus in his own mess? Yes. So the Father turned his back. The disciples showed Jesus their heels. Now let's reason together. If the Father turned away, could the Holy Spirit have remained? Mm-mm. Then he'd be going against the Father. That can't happen. If the Father turned away and the Spirit turned away, could the angel stay? No. No. Then, listen to the word, listen to the Bible. When he had by himself purged our sins. Then if he did it by himself, all you need to be saved is Jesus. But having saved you, he then tells you how to live. Are you with me? And we live in obedience to the commandments he spoke. Listen to what he said again in John 14:6. I am the way. Come on, say it. The truth and the life. Finish that verse. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Which makes Christ what? Here's the Father. Here's the sinner. Where's Christ? What is Christ? A mediator. Mm-hmm. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Why is that necessary? Because your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Because of sin, the Father no longer interacted directly with human beings. All interaction was through Christ. Are you following me? All interaction through Christ. To be saved, you have to go through Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How long has this been the case? Since Adam sinned. It has always been Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. So when the Israelites sinned in the Old Testament, the sanctuary requirements were bring an animal. Not a CV. Or what do you call it? A resume? Bring an animal, not a resume, of how many offices you've held in the church. Bring an animal. Why? The animal represents Jesus. That's all that was required. Bring an animal representing Jesus Christ. Only Christ can save you. Now he saves you to a lifestyle. He saves you from one thing to something else. What did the angels tell Joseph and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. Why? For he shall save his people from. Now the word from suggests a relocation. Are you following me? I am from, and I am here now. He saves you from sin to whatever the opposite of sin is. Now, reason with me. If sin is doing wrong, and Jesus saves you from that, what does he save you to? Doing right. But by the same power that saved you. Are you with me? As ye have received Christ, so walk in him. You receive him by faith, you walk by faith. The same power that saves is the power that enables you to live a saved life. And it is all by the power of the life of Christ. Behold the man. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of God. I am the bread of life. Not I have the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Go to John 6, 51. Our subject, behold the man, 7:30. Who has prayed for me? God bless you. God bless you. Just pause in your search for John. Let's pray. Dear God, as I go into the final section of this presentation, please help me even more than you did for the first part. Give me simple language, dear God. And if there's anyone confused, let that confusion be blown away, dear God, by the clarity of what I'm about to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the living bread. So to eat that bread, you have to do what? Eat Jesus. This is not cannibalism. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. For the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What did Jesus say in verse 53? Verily, verily, I say unto you, what? Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, finish the verse, ye have no life. It didn't say, except ye hold church offices. Now, Christ is using the symbolism of eating and what eating does for someone if the person eats the right thing. You had lunch. You had a potluck. What did you have? Haystacks. Okay. What was in the haystack? Beans. Rice. Onions. Chips. What did my handsome little brother say? Eggs, you said? Who? Hay. Hay? Oh, you put hay in a haystack. Okay, all right. Well, okay, we're vegetarian. That's fine. Now, you consumed that a couple hours ago. Well, more than a couple. If properly digested, listen to me, the nutrients are extracted. The fats, the proteins, the carbohydrates, and taken by the blood where? To the cells. Because if nothing gets to the cell, the body has not been nourished. And the nutrients get to the cells. That's where we reap the benefit. Now, Jesus says, eat me like bread. Digest me. Let me go to the cellular level of your life and make a change from there. But how do we eat Jesus Christ? Let's go to verse 54 of John 6, our subject, behold the man. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is bread indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, finish that verse, dwelleth in me and I in him. Now verse 57, as the living Father have sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now that's a verse that requires a microscopic review. Let's see how often we come across the word life. From verse 51 to 57. Let's read 51 again. I am the living bread. That's life. Now, someone keep count for me. That's one use of life. Living is life. All right? That's one. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Keep reading. If any man eat of this bread, he shall. That's life again. That's twice. Is somebody keeping count? That's twice. Keep reading. And the what? Bread that I will give is my, which I will give for the. We have life again. That's three times. Let's go to verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Read verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have. Add that to the list. Verse 54. Read it for us. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath. Put it on the list. And I will raise him up. Now what does raise up mean? To give life. So put that on the list. At the last day. Verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. 57. As the living Father, is that life? Put it on the list. Have sent me, and I live by the Father. Put it on the list. So, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Put it on the list. Let's go to 58. Read 58. What does that say? This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that shall put life on that list now. How many times do we have? 10. Then what would you say is the emphasis of that passage? Life. But life how? Through Jesus. But not this Jesus in the Bible. Are you with me? You're not with me. Not Jesus in the Bible. Oh, every home has a Bible, virtually. Not Jesus in church. When you went to the potluck, did you sit and look at the food and say grace and then go home? Did you admire the haystack with the hay in it? What did you do? You devoured it. You demolished it. You destroyed it with great joy. Now, it will nourish you because you took it from the outside and put it where? On the inside. Now, life 10 times between verses 1 and 58 of John 6. Christ is telling you how to receive life. And how do you do that? Through him. But what do you have to do with him? Eat him. But how do you eat him? Listen to verse 57 again, then we'll go to 63. As the living Father hath sent me. Who's the living Father? God. That's the Father. And I live how? Now, that's in his humanity, you see. In his divinity, Christ didn't need anyone. He had life naturally. So does the Father, so does the Holy Ghost. But in his humanity, he said, I live by the Father. Did you catch that? Now he says, what's the next word? Come on, what's the next word? One word, two letters. So, what does so mean? Listen again, then you'll get it. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so. The same way. Finish the verse now. He that eateth me shall live by me. Jesus is saying, the same way my Father sustains me. That's how I sustain you. Now, since we are told, eat his flesh, then Jesus must be saying, the Father sustained me because I ate his flesh. It's the same way. But how did Jesus eat the flesh of the Father, you see? Now, go to verse 63. Read nice and loud. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does quickeneth mean? What does quickeneth mean? To give life so we have life again. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, meaning the carnal nature, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are, and they are life. Mm-hmm. The life we encountered from verse 51 to 58, that word is possible through the Word of God. That life is possible through the Word of God. Where? Where? On the inside. Not just, you see, something in your stomach is not really in your body. Any nutritionists, any dietitians, any physiologists, listen to me again. If something goes into your stomach, goes into your alimentary canal, and then goes out into the sewer system, it never got into your body. That's why we have all these fancy delivery systems. If you take this tablet, it is coated in such and such a way, it survives the acid in the stomach, and it passes this blood-brain barrier, and it goes through. They have all these fancy advertisements for you to buy medication. What it's trying to say is, it gets out of your stomach and right to your cells to make a difference. Now, Jesus is saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The life you refer to in verse 51, 53, 54, 57, 55. This life is possible through taking in the Word of God. And Jesus identifies himself as the Word. Behold the man. I am the way. My brothers and sisters, when you're forgiven, forgiveness is a man who does something for you. When you pray and your prayers are answered, the answer is only possible because of a man who's also God. The strength to endure trials and tribulations, that strength is a man. Why? Because it is that man's life in you. At every step of the Christian life, it's a man called Christ. Not the church. He has a church. He leads you to it. He wants you to support it with tithes and offering. He wants you to use your talents and gifts for the carrying out of the mission of the church. But it is the man. The Jews had the most beautiful church you can imagine. Jesus says, your house is left unto you. Yes. No church can save you. Why was the church desolate? Jesus was not in it. Behold the man. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, our subject, behold the man, the time, 20 minutes to 8. We have, let's say, 10 minutes left. Thank you for staying by. God bless you. I really mean that sincerely. And God doubly bless your children. The devil wants children desperately. You know, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's Jesus speaking. The devil has the same approach. Remember me in the days of thy youth. And so he uses music. He uses video games. He uses Pokemon. He uses all kinds of expensive, attractive rubbish to destroy the minds of the youth. Because once he has them young, he stands a good chance of keeping them forever. Are you with me? When I was a little boy, I was a Catholic. And the Catholics had a saying, give me a little child for the first 7 years of his life. I will give you a Catholic forever. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Do you have it? Read with me. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, that verse, one of the most difficult verses I ever memorized. But just one verse, but it's so awkward. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. It takes me weeks to get that thing in order. Christ is wisdom. He's righteousness. He is sanctification. He is redemption. Not just he has redemption. He is redemption. Not just he has wisdom. He is wisdom. His life is wisdom. Because the life of Christ is the wisest, is the greatest expression of wisdom. Because Christ only does what's right. He is righteousness. He is sanctification, a man who is also what? God. Let me say it again. A man who is also God. When God sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh, Moses said to God in Exodus 3, verse 13, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" The Israelites had largely forgotten God. Ellen White says in Patriarchs and Prophets, only a few remembered God on his Sabbath. They had largely forgotten God. Moses knew that. And Moses says, I need the name for them to understand who sent me. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. This expression, I am that I am, you go to any Bible commentary, just pages and pages trying to explain it. I am what I will be. The self-existent God. The necessary God. Without me, nothing can exist. The essential existence, that's me. I am that I am. I am who I will be. I just am. And so in John 8, verse 56, Jesus said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Christ said, Abraham looked down with God's direction and saw Christ on the cross, saw Christ in his human life, saw the sacrifice. He saw it. He rejoiced. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Abraham had died almost 2,000 years before Christ came. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 58, Before Abraham was, I am. The next verse says, Then took they up stones to cast at him. Why? Because they understood what he said. By saying, Before Abraham was, I am, he was saying, I am the one who appeared to Moses. Because in verse 15, And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so the Jews understood that this man, Jesus, was saying, I am the God that made the covenant with Abraham, who is the father of the Jews. I am the God who repeated that covenant to Isaac and to Jacob. I am the one of whom the Bible says over and over, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am that one. And when they heard Jesus say that, they realized, look, he is saying he is the eternal God. And they tried to kill him because for them that was blasphemy. But Jesus was saying, the God who has always existed, the one who existed before heaven and earth were made. The one who said, let there be light. The one whom the angels worship. The one who maintains every blade of grass. The one who's aware of every sparrow. The one who counts the hairs on your head. The one who sustains the universe. Who arranged the principles by which the atom is constructed. That's me. They said, we have to kill this man. This is blasphemy of the highest order. But Jesus was right. He was that one. And so tonight, behold the man. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says, as we look at this man, who was also God, something happens in us. And we change into that same image. We can never be God, but we can be God-like. Did you hear what I said? We can never be God because you cannot create God. But we're required to be God-like. To think like God, to behave like God, to the extent a created being can do that. Speaking of Lucifer, Ellen White writes in The Faith I Live By, page 66, paragraph 2, speaking of Lucifer, God made him good and beautiful, as near as possible like himself. Now here was God's desire for us when he made Adam. Conflict and Courage, page 21, paragraph 5. God created man for his own glory, that after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. It was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with the human family if they would show themselves obedient to his every word. Now, why did God want to repopulate heaven? A third of the angels were thrown out, including Lucifer. So the repopulation would have to include replacing the angels and Lucifer. What position did Lucifer occupy? The highest. So God's intention was, at some point, these created beings would occupy the place Lucifer had. So Gabriel is holding that position how? Temporarily. Temporarily. Until such time in eternity that God sees fit, then he unites us with him. He does not unite himself with angels. This is all possible through Jesus. Behold the man. Christ is your victory over sin. Christ is my victory in times of trial and oppression when the supervisor makes my life a living hell. What keeps me is Christ. Christ is my wisdom as I read his word. Christ is my salvation. And since Christ has never failed, if Christ can say, let there be light, and there's light, why should I question my salvation if that's the one who saves me? Are you with me? If he can create the universe with his voice, surely he can save me and preserve me. So my confidence is in Christ, not in faith. I exercise faith because he said so. And so I close by using this analogy as we end. Behold a man. Christ is a dentist. Sin is a cavity. Christ says, come to me. I'll fix the cavity. You get into your car, you still have the cavity. Are you with me? You drive to Christ's dental office, you still have the cavity. You sit in the chair, you still have the cavity. He says, he leans you back, horizontal to the floor, you still have the cavity. He says, open your mouth, you open it, as wide as a hippopotamus, you still have the cavity. Are you with me? Now all of these are acts of obedience to the dentist. Why? Because you have faith in him. So anything he says, you do. Now, if a mechanic said, open your mouth, you say, why? Does my mouth look like a hood? Why open my mouth? You're a mechanic. If a dentist says, raise your hood, you may say, why? Are you listening to me? But when the dentist says, open your mouth, you open your mouth without question. You don't ask him why, because fixing teeth is his specialty. Saving sinners is the speciality of Jesus. When he says, open your mouth, you do what he says. When he says, remember the Sabbath day, you do it. When he says, thou shalt not steal, you do it. Why? Because he's the one who fixes the cavity of sin. Behold the man. Tonight, I present to you the living word, Jesus Christ. Develop tomorrow night, we'll talk about a God of personal relationships. What did I say? Personal relationships. Come tomorrow night. Bring your friends. Bring your enemies, and they leave as friends. And come and hear the word of God. But for tonight, how many of you will say, Father, help me to establish a personal relationship with a man called Jesus? Can I see your right hand? Do you mean that, yes or no?
Yes.
Stand up with us. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. He is the one who said, let there be light. He is the one who said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He was the one who said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, curses the ground. He is the one who said, I will rain bread from heaven for you. He is the one who said, strike the rock, and he himself was the rock, and he himself was the living water, and he was the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night. He is the one who not only made the universe, but preserves the universe. He is the one who appeared to Abraham. He is the one who established the covenant and the basis of the covenant, which is his law. He is everything. We thank you for Jesus. Father, and he says to us, our greatest possession is a saving knowledge of this man called Jesus, who is also God. Tonight, as we leave this place, let us leave there, God, with a greater appreciation of this man who is God, called Jesus. Let us understand that he tells us to have faith, but the person alone who can save us is Jesus. That's why he died. Let us put our faith not in hope, not in speaking in tongues, not in the gifts of healing, not in the gift of prophecy. Let us put our faith in a man who's also God, and his name is Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Now we receive him by faith into our hearts. As we go, let us go believing that the very life of Christ is beating in our hearts tonight. Watch over us as we sleep through the power of Jesus. Bring us back tomorrow by the preserving power of Jesus. In his name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you, children of God. Have a pleasant night. Let the last thing at night, listen to this carefully, Our How Calling, page 116, paragraph 2. Make this a part of your life. Your last thought at night, your first thought in the morning, should be of him in whom is centered your hope of eternal life. Fall asleep with Jesus on your mind.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.